SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Ooh, the fresh new intro. JP was cooking overnight, setting us up here for a Wednesday edition of Moneyline. Right back where we want to be, the best hour of your day. Donnie Wrightside here, solo mission. KW be back tomorrow on a Thursday, and then away we'll go into the weekend here. Got a lot of good topics to hit today, which does include some NBA talk, some NCAA college basketball talk as well. Some pretty good action tonight. Hit a couple games on the early line this morning. We'll go over those, handicap them, see if we can put some money, certainly, in our pockets. NFL coaches here, 5 spots left up for grabs, and I got to tell you, I'm pretty puzzled at some of these positions that are still up in the air with coaches that are still interviewing that I would have thought had already gotten jobs. The Philadelphia Eagles today will go in front of the media, and when I say the Eagles, that's Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman, general manager, to answer questions that there probably aren't a lot of good answers to because they haven't hired an offensive end or a defensive coordinator yet. So that certainly should be some fun. Also, we'll talk today a little bit of Doc Rivers. How about that? Doc found his way back in the NBA, agrees in principle to become the Bucks head coach here, what some people say was an underhanded move by Doc. We'll get to that a little bit later. Also, if anybody was watching the NBA last night, the Blazers protesting a basketball game against the Oklahoma City Thunder because their coach could not get a timeout and then made a fool of himself, got ejected, couple technicals, and his team lost primarily because he got upset and got tossed out of the game for some technical fouls, which you can't have. But as I say to that, the Blazers really trying to win games anyway. Maybe that's a pretty good move here by Derek Fisher, getting teed up and tossed out of that basketball game to make sure they actually lost it there, right? It's a way it makes some sense. And also, yes, NFC, AFC, Championship Sunday, some slight movement at some books here. More money, it looks like, coming on the Baltimore Ravens against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we got sevens everywhere between the Detroit Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. Weather condition update in both of those we'll go over as well. And also, taking a look at Major League Baseball. Actually had a couple signings yesterday. Can you believe it? The hot stove moving forward. And as I was going over my notes for the early line this morning, did you guys know February 14th? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, that's Valentine's Day. Of course I know what that is. That's actually pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. And did you know also, we have 2 games, which I hate when Major League Baseball does this. The Major League Baseball opening day technically is March the 28th is when everybody starts. But I believe on March the 20th, they're going to have a series in Korea getting the Major League Baseball season already underway. Like, we're a week out from February, people. Big things happening here. So Major League Baseball just around the corner. And also, as I said, we'll talk a little NCAA action and NBA current action a little bit later on. Let's start with the coaching topics here in the NFL. Let's get started right away. In the morning on the early line, Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, had Boomer Esiason on. And he came on the show with a little bit of information that technically isn't known out there or finalized, but he says Ben Johnson is going to be the head coach of the Washington Commanders. When it's all said and done, you can write that and take that to the bank, which makes a lot of sense here. That is a great hire for the Washington Commanders. Now, hopefully pretty soon, I won't actually having to be saying Washington Commanders anymore. First of all, Washington needs to change the name of the football team just blow it up. It's not the Commanders. It's a horrible name here. It's not. It's not Washington Football Team, which is the dumbest name in the history of professional, or at least American professional sports. It's not going to be that. Obviously, it's not going back to the Redskins either. We know that. They need a new team concept there. And also, the uniforms, some of the worst in the NFL. One of the more iconic uniforms in the history of the NFL. They completely bludgeoned and butchered under Daniel Snyder. That needs to change as well. But they're getting it right here. Front office coming in. Sharp, smart people. Josh Harris, owner, or should I say primary owner, of the Washington Commanders. He's owned a few sports league teams in the past. Sixers were a mess. Gutted that franchise. Now back to respectability. The Commanders are on their way, people. They really are. And if Ben Johnson's going to be your head coach, that is a home run right out of the gate. Which also brings me up to my next topic here on the Washington Commanders. What to make of Eric Bieniemy, huh? All those years under Andy Reid in Kansas City, was getting calls to getting interviews to be a head coach, never got one here. We also said it was such an interesting move to leave Kansas City, which I agree he had to. He had to step out of Andy Reid's spotlight to see if he could sort of survive on his own. But he went to a dead-end situation in Washington. Ron Rivera was a lame duck head coach. We all knew that. What happened? He got fired at the end of the season, right? So it led us to believe, like, what's the best case scenario for Eric Bieniemy being with the Washington Commanders? That they're maybe, I don't know, 2-3 to start the season and they fire Ron Rivera and he takes over and they make the playoffs and, you know, has the respect of the room, right? But that didn't happen either. Ron Rivera went the entire distance. They asked him to say, you know what, in a division where the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys were so much better than you at the start of the season, and we knew that, what was going to happen with Eric Bieniemy's offense? Was he going to find lightning in a bottle and Sam Howell was going to be the guy that's going to go to a Pro Bowl and lead them into the playoffs? That didn't happen either. Now, they did interview Eric Bieniemy for the head coaching job in Washington, but again, we had Boomer on today and basically says it's a case-closed deal that Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, is going to come over. He's a wonderful coordinator. And yes, right now I would take him over Eric Bieniemy. But Eric Bieniemy is still a solid NFL coach. Where does he land at this point? The reason I bring it up is the Philadelphia Eagles at 2:30 Eastern, which is about 20 minutes from now, are going to have a press conference. Nick Sirianni, head coach of the Eagles, and Howie Roseman are going to meet with the media. But a lot more questions that probably can't even be answered today. But one of those is, who's that offensive coordinator going to be? Late night here, I wake up and I see, you know, Mike Garofalo tweeting out that the Eagles had interviewed Cliff Kingsbury, former head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, as possibly a offensive coordinator position. Gerard Johnson was also interviewed today, who is the quarterback coach for Houston. Bobby Slowick, as we know, is the offensive coordinator there, is also getting some looks around the NFL. But that'll be an interesting press conference to see what comes out of it, because I don't know how, you know, thorough they're going to be at answering questions, because what the public is going to ask them is, how did a 10-1 team fall apart, right? And what's their answer going to be? Well, I mean, Patricia stinks. Brian Johnson stinks. Sean Desai stinks. Now we're here to sort of turn the page and hopefully get some good coaches in here. We know that's not how it's going to go down. I was actually thinking they'd have at least one coordinator signed before that press conference, but they didn't. All right, people, topics are set here. Let's start beefing on the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame as well. Let's take a look at some of those free agents that signed, but really, what's the Hall of Fame doing at this point? What is the point of it? I'm actually going to explain exactly the point of the Hall of Fame, particularly across the professional landscape. Donnie Wright's out here on a solo mission of Moneyline. Come on back with me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the favorite hour of your day on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline. Donnie Wright's out here, solo mission, cruising through SiriusXM channel 159. Now, I told you, I wanted to pick a little bit on Major League Baseball. I love baseball. You guys know that. I can't wait for it to happen. I'm lucky where my two favorite handicapping sports basically roll over on each other, and that's Major League Baseball and it's the NFL. Like, we really start looking at the NFL, right, in August, before preseason kicks off, and you start that, boy, I can't wait for football to get here. Then football gets here, talking about NFL action, early September. And it goes from September, October, November, December, January, right through February. That's 6 months. You take a couple weeks off here. Next thing you know, spring training is in March. And Major League Baseball games start at the end of March, which takes you from April, May, June, July, August, September, October, into November. That's basically, what, 7, 8, 9 months at that point here. And I'm thankful for that. Because some people don't like Major League Baseball, or just say maybe casual fans. I'm a hardcore baseball fan because I love to handicap it. And on a night-to-night basis, it is so much fun and so sensational. Now, let's get that out of the way, because I can't wait for baseball. But here's what baseball does wrong so many times. When we talk about the end of the Major League Baseball season with the award season, right? Strike while the iron's hot is what I like to say. While baseball's still here in the playoffs, the minute the season is done, the MVPs, the Cy Youngs, they're already been decided. No matter what happens in the playoffs, just like every other sport, it's a regular season award. That number, or should I say that vote, should be tallied 2 days after the season is over, and by the time we start the postseason, if you have an MVP or a Cy Young Award winner, they were announced for your guy in front of your own crowd, and that's how we get excited for it. But we wait months, it feels like, in order to hand out the MVP awards and the Cy Young Awards, which by the time they come out, nobody gives a damn. We love Shohei Ohtani. We don't give a damn about Shohei Ohtani 2 months after baseball season. It's NFL season. Get it right, Major League Baseball. So let's get over here to the Hall of Fame. And basically, guys, this could be the same scenario that I'm talking about for the majority of sports. And I realized this, you know, not too long ago, but growing up, right, the Hall of Fame, thinking about as a kid, right? Let's just say you're playing baseball, Little League Baseball, 10-year-old. You're watching the NFL. And when you think Hall of Fame, it's like, man, that's the coolest thing in the world. Would love to go to the Hall of Fame. I've actually never been to Cooperstown, and I've never been to Canton, Ohio, home of the NFL Hall of Fame. I've been to Springfield, Massachusetts, but I've never actually been to the Basketball Hall of Fame, which includes the NBA and also college basketball. Now, the reason I bring it up is you have this whole, like, interesting look at the Hall of Fame and what it stands for. And for me growing up, it was always the fact that you knew a Hall of Famer when you saw them, right? When you were kids, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, adolescents through teenage years in the high school, we always had debates like who the great football players were, right? Oh, this guy's great. And, you know, Dan Marino growing up at Joe Montana, who's the best quarterback of all time. But the one thing that you always knew, what a Hall of Famer really was. Like, we always knew, like Dan Marino was a Hall of Famer. Joe Montana was a Hall of Famer. Jerry Rice is a Hall of Famer. Like, there's no buyback on that, right? You knew it when you saw it. There was no doubt in our minds that those guys were Hall of Famers. Best coaches of all time, right? Hey, it was always growing up. It was Vince Lombardi, you know, a Tom Landry, a Chuck Knoll. I mean, heck, even Jimmy Johnson winning multiple Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. We weren't arguing that fact here. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is you take a look at the 2024 Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting. And again, this goes also with the NFL. Guys that got in, Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, and Joe Mauer. I'm not saying they're not deserving of the Hall of Fame. Todd Helton was a great baseball player. So was Joe Mauer. Adrian Beltre put up ridiculous numbers. But they're not really the guys that you sort of pick on at this point, right? Because as you go through, there's a guy that just missed out. Billy Wagner, 284 votes, which was 73.8% share of the votes. And as you know, you need 75% or more to get into the Hall of Fame. Anybody below 75%, there's no threshold, right, for Hall of Fame voting. It's like, hey, we got to put in five guys every single year, like the NFL basically does. They don't have that. You have to have a voting share, and he didn't get it. Now, here's the issue I have, right? Going into the Hall of Fame in recent years, let's just use like Derek Jeter. Say what you want about him. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm a Yankees, I don't say hater. But when you look at Derek Jeter, like, we poke fun and be like, you know, I mean, this guy was really overrated. But the one thing we really don't argue with is him being a Hall of Famer, right? First ballot goes in. Isn't that what a Hall of Famer is? I mean, honestly, if it's going to take you more than three tries on a ballot to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, are you really a Hall of Famer? And we see it in the NFL quite a bit now with the Veterans Committee. You've got guys on there 10, 15, whatever years that don't make it in, that after they pass away get put in the Hall of Fame by the Veterans Voting Committee. Look at Billy Wagner. 9 years on the ballot and hasn't gotten in. So does that mean in the 10th year we feel bad for Billy Wagner and put him in the Hall of Fame? 10 years on the ballot, you haven't been voted in. Like, the Hall of Fame is not the Hall of Great. It's not the Hall of Good. It's the greatest players to ever line up in your sport, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? That's what I was always led to believe. The top 1% of 1% that get in. You should never go to a Hall of Fame and question why a guy is in the Hall of Fame. It should be unreproachable at that point here. Now, other guys on there, what do you say, like Andrew Jones, Carlos Beltran, Alex Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez, Chase Utley, you know, nowhere near the 75%. But you know what I realized a couple years back, saying, Donnie, why do you fight this or even have a passion for it? Like, understand why the Hall of Fame actually works in most sports. It's about income revenue streams, people. That's really what it is. Like, let's just say, after all of these years, Donnie Wrightside was made commissioner of the NFL and Major League Baseball. And I put it out, said, it's okay, guys. We don't have to vote on every single player every single year. So you know what? Boy, it's been 4 years since we had somebody go into the NFL Hall of Fame. That would be fine. It's been years since the Baseball Hall of Fame has voted people in. Right? And particularly that blast, really, is with the NFL. Because once I realized that the NFL Hall of Fame was a separate business entity from the NFL, I understood what they were doing. Hear me out on this. The Hall of Fame game is in Canton, Ohio, every single year around the Hall of Fame. There's a reason why they do that. And there's a reason why, let's just say, Reggie White goes into the Hall of Fame. The Eagles would end up playing maybe the Packers or something like that, right? I'm just using it from past experiences. Ray Lewis goes into the Hall of Fame. Maybe put the Baltimore Ravens out there. Jerry Rice goes into the Hall of Fame. The San Francisco 49ers will probably play there. Well, you know why that's done, right? By the Hall of Fame and the committee? And it works hand in hand with the NFL there. But it's because nobody would continue to go to the Hall of Fame unless you kept putting people in so you can have a weekend every single year that would be your biggest grossing day of the year. Do you hear me out on that? If the NFL Hall of Fame was designed to not make a profit and nobody cared what the income stream was, it would be a much better product. Because if you don't put new people in there, you don't intrigue the people to go see the Hall of Fame more than one time, right? Hey, I went to the Hall of Fame when I was a 16-year-old. Yeah, I saw it. What else do I have to see? It's only been like 8 more people put in there. They put, you know, 5 people in every single year. And the reason is for money. Now, granted, yes, those players deserve to be in there. Most of them. But tell me this, man. If you're not a Hall of Famer after 10 years, you're not a Hall of Famer. Heck, after 3 years, you're not a Hall of Famer. There should be no debate about that whatsoever. But it seems like we do. And by the way, it's all about the dollar signs, baby. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline. We'll be back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside here, right on the Sports Grid Network Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159. Just to set you guys up for this weekend, Pro Football Today, live in studio on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Myself, Joe Lisi, and Kevin Walsh getting you set for the NFC, AFC Championship games. And then how about the following week there? Yeah, we're going to provide some pretty good action. Get you set up for the Super Bowl, which is the following two weeks from this Sunday. We'll be out in Las Vegas, hanging out, shooting live programming. Pro Football Today will be on in the morning, a 2-hour show. How do you like that? Hey, boy, Donnie Wright said doesn't have to go a full 3 hours here on the early line. But I believe that show will take place Tuesday to Friday out in Las Vegas. So on the ground, boots on the ground, getting the vibes there for the Super Bowl out in Las Vegas. You know, I just wish it was a little bit hotter out there. 60 to 65 degrees looking at the future temperatures there for Super Bowl week. But it will be nice to get maybe a little bit of sunshine as you walk into the media center, which will be at the Mandalay Bay this year, where the NFL is going to have radio row, and that's will be there in prominence. I know we'll also be at a few different casinos doing live shows throughout the evening. Like game, I don't think Game Time Decisions technically is going to be on that week, but certainly programming all throughout the week designed on the Super Bowl. So just to give you some guys, some action and some heads up there, we're going to have a really good time in Las Vegas getting after it here. Let's talk about those NFL coaching hires here. A couple of them already in the books. The Vegas Raiders go with Antonio Pierce, which I think was the sensible decision for them to make. They also hire Tom Telesco as general manager. I like the setup in Las Vegas. They just need to find their quarterback, get some talent there, and see if they can challenge Patrick Mahomes. Now, also, we have hirings in Tennessee. Offensive coordinator from the Cincinnati Bengals comes over there. Callahan, so on his way. Offensive, okay, it's a decent hire as you look at it. Obviously, as we know, Matt Eberflus is staying in Chicago. The same thing with Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. And Gerard Mayo has been the head coach assigned in the New England Patriots organization, which leaves us here with some interesting options. Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, Los Angeles Chargers, Seattle Seahawks, and the Washington Commanders. Now, as I told you already, on the early line this morning, Boomer Esiason, CBS Sports comes on, also from Boomer and Geo and WFAN, says, you know what, done deal. Washington Commanders are going to hire the offensive coordinator Ben Johnson from the Detroit Lions. Now, we knew that he was going to get a head coaching job, probably the first off the board, but can't really be the first off the board because you can't hire a head coach while he's still coaching in the NFL playoffs. Now, if he does lose out this weekend, as he's supposed to, technically, based on the odds, a 7-point number, he will then certainly be announced as the Washington Commanders coach. Franchise I haven't heard too much about here right now is the Seattle Seahawks. Is it really going to be Dan Quinn at this point? I don't know what they'll be waiting on, maybe getting an interview from some of these final four teams that are still left. But the two teams I want to talk about here primarily, it's the Los Angeles Chargers and it's the Atlanta Falcons. Let's just say Jim Harbaugh, rock star head coaches out there, right? And I'm not saying rock star in the way of if you hire him, you win a Super Bowl. But fan bases will get geeked up if their fan base needing a head coach signs Jim Harbaugh, and rightfully so. And also, Bill Belichick. Now, again, a needy organization probably really wants Bill Belichick, and I'm sure the fan base can sort of get behind that as well. But here's what I don't understand what's going on. Maybe we're just so used to the way that, like, college football operates or the NBA that, you know, goes, hey, you know what, we're just going to fire Adrian Griffin as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we like Doc Rivers. We haven't talked to him yet. And hours later, yeah, Doc Rivers is our head coach. See what I mean? The NFL sometimes goes through being extremely thorough when I don't know if they need to. Because much like human beings, owners are, GMs are, and front offices are. And keep in mind, this isn't the 1940s. Well, like the owner is the head coach, general manager, and also the entire front office and sells tickets on the side. There are dozens of people there whose only job is during the season, hey, if it turns out our season doesn't go the direction we want, make sure you have vetted some head coaches here and I have a list ready to go. And I want to be briefed on them weekly should we decide that we actually want to go a different direction. So the Atlanta Falcons right out of the gate, and we were told early on, and I know the beat reporter sometimes jumped the gun because you can't get everything right. And sometimes in this new wave of social media, it's better to be first than right. And if you are right after being first, that's all you care about. But if you're first and you were wrong, everybody forgets it the next day anyway, right? That's seemingly the way it goes. So the Atlanta Falcons go out right away and pursue Bill Belichick and bring him in for an interview. Seemed like, yeah, that looks like a perfect landing spot. And I even said it from the beginning. The two spots Bill Belichick I thought would go to, the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. That's where I thought they were going to. But now you see that the Atlanta Falcons have interviewed Bill Belichick twice. and are now interviewing Jim Harbaugh twice. And have already interviewed Aaron Glenn twice for the Detroit Lions. Or at least two interviews over the phone and maybe want to get at him in person. I don't know what they're doing here. The Chargers also look like it was going to be lockstep here. Well, Jim Harbaugh signed, sealed, and delivered to the Los Angeles Chargers. Which, again, isn't the case. He's interviewing in Atlanta. And already had a couple interviews for the Chargers. They're wild times out here. And again, just getting back to the point of who is running that front office all offseason and season long. You know who you want. Is this just red tape that you get to get by here in order to make sure you get your guy? Like, do you interview Bill Belichick and say, hey, look, Bill, hang tight with me here. I'm going to hire you as head coach, but I got to interview you again. But also, I got to interview like four other people the first and second times through just to make this thing seem sort of legit. You don't think Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons knew almost like the minute they fired their head coach, they didn't know what was going on? Stop! Like, Arthur Smith has been gone for weeks now. You don't know who you wanted to? Which, even to a lesser degree, is what my Philadelphia Eagles are doing today. They've been bounced from the playoffs for 2 weeks now. You don't know who you want for a coordinator? When you fired Sean Desai, basically, the middle of the season, you didn't know you were already looking for a coordinator and nobody was had their eyes open just yet? When Brian Johnson was starting to fail, you didn't know you had an eye on an offensive coordinator at some time? Stop it. I don't believe it for one bit. I don't believe it for one bit. But who's the next coaching job to fall? If we're led to believe the Washington Commanders already have Ben Johnson, I guess technically we're waiting for Monday morning or Tuesday just to get confirmation at that point. Seattle Seahawks, I've been waiting to see who they're going to get. What's the deal with them? Sitting there holding out. Chargers, I thought it would have been Harbaugh right away, but apparently they're just, you know, skipping around, hanging out, seeing what's up. Maybe somebody shakes through from that Final Four here. But it's very interesting here. But again, getting back to the two organizations I thought would have already hired their coaches, that's the Chargers and the Falcons, with premier guys in the building early and with some, you know, hey, want to be your head coaches. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case at that point just yet. We'll get some terms. Maybe even tonight, we'll get some things, some shooting out from some of these beat writers. Like, yeah, this guy signed into the building. Yeah, this guy is exactly who we wanted. And maybe it works out that way. Let's take a look here because we're going to set the tone. Next segment, we're going to take a look again at the AFC and NFC games, go over the updated weather conditions, what guys are talking about, if Deebo Samuel is going to be back or not. But yesterday in college basketball was a pretty good card, short card. Wednesday's cards are always deeper, and they are tonight. Got a couple looks I like, which we'll go over a little bit later in the show. But just from some of those scoring shots here in the top 25. By the way, Purdue blasted Michigan last night, 99-67. Michigan, the Michigan Wolverines are 7-12 on the season. Juwan Howard, I don't know if he's going to be long for that job much longer. Houston BYU, what's wrong in that game? I like the under. Closed at, I believe, 136.5. Three-point shots here. Houston shot it very well. BYU shot a lot of three-point shots. Didn't make a ton of them, but ended up sinking 11. But Houston had a lot of free throws that they were able to push through. I thought that game would stay under. The first half was a little bit too high scoring. 41-34. I knew it was over basically at that point. Second half did slow down, 34-34, which I thought more of what that first half would have been. A little bit lower scoring, but it wasn't. Kentucky got hammered yesterday by South Carolina, 79-62. I'm not down on Kentucky. I'm really not. I want them to take their lumps. I want them to learn about these losses on the road, and then they're really going to be a factor come March Madness. I believe that. Texas goes on the road and hammers number 11, Oklahoma, 75-60, a 15-point blasting. Ace missed 22 points in that game. Texas really took it to Oklahoma on the glass in that one. Louisville 1-7, the ACC 6-13 overall. What a shame for Louisville. One of those blue blood programs that is absolutely horrendous. They need to scrap Kenny Payne, move on, admit they were wrong, and just get out of Dodge at this point here. But tonight, we got some pretty good action in the top 25. Auburn and Alabama, we'll handicap that game a little bit later. You take a look at Illinois and Northwestern. Illinois getting their superstar player back due to some interesting things, right, to say the least. Shannon will be back tonight. 16 points in his last return. Now he plays tonight. He gives him the boost here and gets that dub. But we'll go over that in a little bit. Marquette, DePaul, Iowa State and Kansas State out in the Big 12. And then late night action here. But when I used to do so many of those games. CBS Sportsnet, San Jose State and New Mexico State. Staying up all night, working those games, having some fun doing it. But college basketball, we're going to talk a lot more of that on this show. And relatively sooner than later. Because before you know it, March Madness is going to get after it. And away we go. And boy, is that so fun. I know we love football season more than anything. And you know I enjoy myself a nice Major League Baseball slate. But you got to be kidding me. You talk about the conference tournaments falling into March Madness. Doesn't get any better. Let's talk NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Right out of here tonight. By the way, interesting stuff here. The Milwaukee Bucks do have a game tonight. I believe Joe Prunty will still be their head coach, interim head coach, going up against Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the hottest teams in the NBA with 8 straight victories. Is that one of those games where you sort of take that bump and it's like, hey, you know what? Milwaukee should be the play tonight, even though they're playing a very good basketball team, because there are no more excuses that you can say it's the coach's fault. And even though they have 30 wins on the season, Milwaukee, tied for second best in the NBA. But that game's certainly one to keep an eye on tonight, no doubt about it. Also, another interesting one. Out on the West Coast tonight, the Warriors are going to take on the Atlanta Hawks. The Warriors had their last 2 games canceled, not because of snowstorms, but because of their assistant coach passing away. That's going to be an emotional night out in the Bay Area. A short price, but you could probably say it'll be emotional. They'll be charged up and ready to play, but also, how much were they practicing and going through basketball motions over the past, you know, week or so with their assistant coach passing away? That's also one to keep an eye on at that point, but a decent board overall here in NBA action. That college basketball card, we'll hit that quickly again. A couple wagers, even on this morning, going over some of these plays on the early line, Alabama-Auburn, actually like Auburn in this game. A little bit square, I know. But to be honest with you, Alabama, the tickets, 79% coming in on Alabama with 91% of the money. It's an avalanche on Alabama. I took the 3.5 on Auburn. Just looking at some simple game, you know, flows here in SEC play. I think Auburn's defense matches up very well with Alabama, which includes Alabama turning the basketball over at an incredible rate in SEC play. And the number one team at taking the basketball away in the SEC is Auburn. So I'm going to go ahead in that Iron Bowl and take the 3.5 points here with Alabama. Also, Illinois going on the road. This one, again, Northwestern actually has 58% of the tickets on their side. And also, you are getting that reverse line movement. Illinois minus 4.5, now down to minus 2.5. So you're seeing Northwestern here as the side. I don't buy it. I laid the 2.5 in that basketball game. I'm going to take Illinois. Northwestern in Big Ten play, the single worst defensive team in the conference. Terrence Shannon Jr. coming back for his second game, where he already got those feet wet back on the court. He'll get a lot of hate from the stands tonight. I understand it. But I do think Illinois goes on the road and wins that basketball game. So 2 road teams here, short numbers. One getting 3.5, one laying 2.5. I think it makes some sense on both of those sides. We're in the early stages here. Every day, every game that goes by in conference play, we get more and more statistics that we can line up for these games. The hot spot's going to turn on here in February. That 1 month, February the 1st, all the way through the end of February, until we get into conference tournament action, is a fantastic betting season. That's the sweet spot in college basketball. So we're going to have some fun, enjoy it, and away we go there. But let's talk some NFL action coming up this weekend. By the way, the 49ers set the practice today, more of a walkthrough. Everybody's going to practice but Deebo Samuel. Kyle Shanahan telling the reporters he won't practice today, but is feeling better and that shoulder is still sore. Now, as we found out from x-rays, there was not a fracture in that shoulder, so it may be more of a pain tolerance, but that is a key cog here. When Deebo Samuel is healthy, he is the ultimate Swiss Army knife in the NFL and can do it all. Basically, a running back playing wide receiver that you can't tackle and can dominate a football game all by himself. But that's not stopping the betting public here from still trying to climb on and get after San Francisco. if we're taking a look at the line movement, just say on the FanDuel Sportsbook, opened up at 7 last week, dipped to 6.5 early in the week, now we're back up to 7. Weather conditions in this game out there in Santa Clara, California, look to be spectacular. 70 degrees at kickoff, no rain in the forecast, winds under 3 miles an hour. Love to see it if you're a handicapper. You're not worried about how cold it's going to be, how hard that wind's blowing. Are we supposed to get a rainstorm starting in the second quarter? It looks like it's going to be clear. Basically, people, dome conditions in California, which really helps both of these quarterbacks. Brock Purdy's, you know, struggling in the rain. Couldn't get a grip on the football. He's not going to have to worry about that. Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, who are a dome team, heading outdoors. This is the best conditions you could possibly hope for. 50.5 at FanDuel, 51 everywhere else as a total in that football game. The way to attack this for me, and I talked about, you guys were listening on the air. Kevin and I were going over some of the prop bets earlier in the week. Now, granted, I haven't bet anything on this game, on these games this weekend, except for a little bit of a hedge with Kansas City getting 3.5, which actually now points bet New Jersey, showing a 4-point number here on the Baltimore Ravens, and I do agree with that. But Jahmyr Gibbs was 41.5 rushing props this week at Bet 365. It's up to 47.5. It's a role reversal, which I told you guys, I didn't agree with where these statistics opened up, at least on, should I say, the prop bets. David Montgomery was around that 50 number. Gibbs was around that 40 number. Now you're seeing David Montgomery around that 40 number. Gibbs is around that 50 number now, and that's rightfully so. If you're looking for an angle in this football game and you want to win this Detroit, lay it on Jahmyr Gibbs in this one. Similar type running style that you saw last week from Aaron Jones. That's how you get after it. I love David Montgomery, but they don't need the plodding player this week. They need the guy with the jet engine pack that can blast off for a 30, 40-yard gain and switch field position. That's what they need this weekend. But I'm sort of slow playing this to find out where some of these numbers settle in and make a pretty good educated guess. But that's when I missed on. Should have taken Jahmyr Gibbs right out of the bat, even if later in the week I'm like, I don't know if they're going to be running the ball, they're going to be down, how much he's going to get it, should I take his receiving and rushing prop? That was a miss on my part right there. I knew that 41.5 was never going to last, and it didn't. Basically up 6 yards there at 365. A lot of books there putting Jahmyr Gibbs around that 48.5 rushing prop number. But I do think for me, of course, we will be wagering on that game. And I told you, Pro Football Today live in studio on Sunday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., getting you ready for those games. And I believe it does play on a replay from 12 to 3, right up till kickoff of Kansas City and Baltimore. So that Kansas City-Baltimore game really has my eye. And as I know, you know, I have that ticket on the Ravens at 18 to 1. Laid a little bit off just to make sure I get my money back, just in case the Ravens lose, which, again, I won't be happy. I'm like, oh, great move. No, it's not a great move to just get your money back when you're looking at about a $2,000 payout on the end of it. I'll never get the $2,000 payoff regardless, because I will be hedging a good chunk of that in the Super Bowl should the Ravens make it. But now we're seeing a little bit of maybe different conditions playing in and maybe helping the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday. Drizzle is expected in the forecast, so light precipitation throughout the game. Temperatures, which were around 47 to 48 degrees yesterday, or the day before, now dipping into that range of 45, dipping to around 42 by the end of the game. Wind conditions, not too bad, though. Under 10 miles an hour, that should be fine. Two very good field goal kickers with strong legs shouldn't have any impact in this game. But I still can't get over the notion, because I know some people out here that are listening going, you know what? I don't know what the game's going to be about, but I do know if you're going to give me plus money with Patrick Mahomes and or points, I'm going to take that. And I can't get angry at it. I really can't. Because what has shown you in the past that taking Patrick Mahomes is detrimental to yourself when they're getting points. But I just believe this version of the Baltimore Ravens is far superior than the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you're laying out the direction of this football game is what? Lamar Jackson. Isn't it that simple? But yet, he is going to be, people listen to me, he is going to be a two-time MVP. You know who else is a two-time MVP? Patrick Mahomes. But yet, in this game, we still have the notion of, I'm not worried at all about Patrick Mahomes performing in this game. But some people would say they're still having issues with Lamar Jackson in this football game. not buying it anymore. If you are not a believer of Lamar Jackson after this season, getting all of that money, then going out and winning an MVP and getting the number one overall seed. And again, thought processes might be different if this game was played in Kansas City. It's not, people. It's in Baltimore. You also saw last week Kansas City had to go on the road. Now back-to-back road games. Don't we always talk about that in the regular season? Hey, back-to-back road games could be a tough one. Travel conditions, not at home. A little bit more stress on the body. A little bit more stress on third downs and second downs when that crowd is absolutely amplified on a big play that's not in your favor like it usually is when you have your home AFC championship games for Kansas City. That's not going to be the case in this one. This is going to be so much fun to watch this thing play out because Lamar Jackson is going to be on. Also, Tooney, offensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs and a very good one, looks like he's going to miss this game with a pec injury. Also, Isaiah Pacheco, not expected to miss the game this weekend, but will not be practicing today because of a toe injury, something to always keep an eye on here. Because Isaiah Pacheco needs to be on it this Sunday for them to have a chance to beat the Baltimore Ravens. There's no doubt about it. He's got to be on it. And he's probably, look, I said that number, like 75 yards. If you hold Pacheco under 75 yards, you're in good shape. You hold Travis Kelce to 60 or less, you're going to be in good shape. You just can't allow those guys to go up. But I got to tell you one thing here, which I'm struggling with early in the week, and we brought it up a little bit yesterday. The team total for the Kansas City Chiefs in this game is 19.5 points. Weather really shouldn't be a concern. Back-to-back weeks, the Chiefs have scored 26 and 27 points. Now, granted, against banged up and lesser defenses, I understand. But when we take a look at the Chiefs, like let me just bring up their season here real quick. Just to see how it plays out. Because I know how good Baltimore has been down the stretch, right? 10 points against Houston. They gave up 17 against Pittsburgh, but they had their backups in, which is really impressive. But again, it was raining, so you throw that out. Miami, 19 points. San Francisco, 19 points. At the time, probably two of the best offenses in the NFL. You held them down to under 20 points. Jacksonville Jaguars, you held them to 7 points. Before that, it was the Rams with 31. But they've been very hot down the stretch. Marlon Humphrey possibly coming back this weekend only helps. Mike McDonald, one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. You can run a little bit on the Baltimore Ravens. You can. But Kansas City's offense, right, on the season, not as prolific as it was in the past. That's obvious. About 22 points per game. So it's no surprise that they're playing a good defense on the road and they make it 19.5, which means you got to get 20 points to cash that ticket in. But if we're looking at the games that we've played, like in the past couple weeks, right? 27 against Buffalo. They didn't light the world on fire on offense. Buck 46 on the ground, 215 in the air. Miami scored 26 points. And again, both of those cold conditions, windy conditions, had a buck 47 on the ground and 262 in the air. Chargers game was backup, so we take that out of the equation. Beat Cincinnati with your starters, 25-17. Buck 32 on the ground, 241 in the air. A really balanced attack. Like, it's really been balanced as of late. And a lot of that has to do with Isaiah Pacheco. Four straight games, including when you had your backups in. Buck 32, 123, 147, and 146. The games previously before that, where they struggled a little bit on offense, right? Las Vegas Raiders lost 20-14, only gained 85 yards on the ground. New England Patriots, which they did beat 27-17 on the road, only 43 yards on the ground. Then that Buffalo Bills game where they lost 20-17, only 82 yards on the ground. That ground game is going to be key. But as we look to all of these games, you're always going to be in range. Like, honestly, I am rooting for the Ravens, but I also think the Ravens are the better football team. I do think the Baltimore Ravens win by margin, but again, I still have to take a little bit of a hedge because I'm not a mind reader out here. I don't have a crystal ball of exactly which team wins and loses. But I think Baltimore is the better side. But Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going up in flames, scoring like 13 points, 16 points. It's kind of tough for me to fathom. It really is. Because I think Baltimore is going to score. And you should be able to return serve if you're Kansas City. What a fun weekend of football set up on Sunday. 3 o'clock, 6:30. Two fantastic games to wager on. And again, we're not worried all that much about weather conditions, which I love. We'll be right back to shut it down here on a Wednesday afternoon edition of Moneyline. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day right here from Moneyline, Donnie Right Side. Solo mission right here on the Sports Grid Network. Thanks for tuning in. Setting up the night here tonight. Huge college basketball card as well as a nice NBA card also. Going over some of those games with some interest. Obviously, the Charlotte Hornets and the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons, under what circumstances, should be favored at all? Now, this is one of those dilemmas that we have as handicappers going like, now, hold on. Pistons are favored by -2.5 to -3, depending on where you're shopping at. What gives? That should be a Detroit Pistons line, because they never should be favorites anywhere, anytime, against any team. But I'm probably willing to take a flyer on the Charlotte Hornets tonight. Maybe that works out, because why? The Pistons stink. I saw Cade Cunningham downgraded to questionable tonight. We'll see if he goes. The other game, looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Milwaukee Bucks, that game is 7 at FanDuel, 6.5, pretty much a rest across the board, I should say. Cleveland Cavaliers total in this game, 236.5. The Milwaukee Bucks fired their head coach, Adrian Griffin. Joe Prunty probably filling in as the head coach tonight before Doc Rivers gets to town. It's supposed to be a spot you take the Bucks, right? Isn't it? I don't know, man. Think about taking the Cavs here. Give me the Cavs +7 in this game. Oklahoma City Thunder on a back-to-back going up against San Antonio on the road. They're favored by 8 points. Give me a lean on the San Antonio Spurs tonight with the 8 points at home. Phoenix Suns on the road with an opening number of -1, now up to 2.5 across the board. Give me the Suns. Give me the Suns to knock down the Mavs tonight. Doncic and Irving supposed to be in the lineup, but also full gas out of those Phoenix Suns that are learning to play together here. Yeah, come on. If I get an intact starting lineup with the Suns, as I'm anticipating, I think we're able to roll with that tonight. By the way, in college basketball, some games to watch out for, and also, how about this? I did take a three-team money line parlay at +411 tonight. I took Auburn money line against Alabama, Illinois money line against Northwestern, both road teams, tough to win on the road, we know that, and also Iowa State money line against Kansas State. So Iowa State, Illinois, and Auburn +411 tonight on the money line. $25 wager gets you back over $100 tonight, people. How do you not like that? Come on now. Let's have some fun getting in the groove. Tomorrow's a Thursday, another day closer to NFL Championship Weekend. For Donnie Rightside and JP behind the wheels of steel, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.